And I was going to add to the fact that presenting the gospel and seeing souls saved and the Lord using you or I to be that vessel, that's one level of joy. But I also see in the Apostle John the continuation in the truth, where it isn't just that this person believed, but there was no real growth in their life, but instead they went on for the Lord. And to look at that and to see the abundance of fruit for the Lord, not for the person who was used in their conversion, but the development of another believer, and to just find that joy. John would say, I rejoice in hearing that your children abide in the truth. And he was looking at a sister in the Lord whose children came to faith in the Lord. And it's suggested perhaps that it wasn't through John. It may have been through that sister who her children got saved through her faith. And yet he was rejoicing to see that they abided in the truth. And I think this is also a thing to invest our lives in each other and to grow up spiritually, not to be immature. And as we grow up, we want to see growth in one another and to see that growth as faithfulness is unto the Lord. It's a joy. It says joy in the fellowship and growth of other Christians is the subtitle of this topic. And here are two apostles, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, that both could experience that. And looking after many years, it didn't happen overnight. And they spent time. They spent time with these young souls. And they were used of the Lord for their spiritual development.
Also to see the effort that Paul have put in these young believers to see them growing. He described himself in chapter 1 and verse 7 as a nurse among them, and then in verse 11 as a father among them. That's really the kind of relationship that he, it wasn't academic, some kind of going to Thessalonian for 3 weeks, give a couple of lectures and walk away. There was that father-mother heart toward those Thessalonians. The joy of seeing them growing. The joy of seeing Christ being formed in them. It is a genuine feeling to see somebody going on for the Lord. Seeing somebody's getting to be better than you. That is something that's very strange to the world way of thinking. You step on everybody to get up there. That's not really the Christian attitude. It's really the heart of a father that gives. The heart of a mother. It's actually a nurse that really kind of care for those infants and make sure that they are going on and seeing them growing in the Lord, instructing them, correcting them, coaching them, doing all of these things. And as a result of that, you see joy as these young ones are growing on and going on for the Lord. It's worth the investment. It is worth the time and the effort. And it requires a lot of diligence and a lot of doing and a lot of knowing who you deal with day in and day out, because everyone is different. But there is a joy that the world does not know and does not understand. Just like exactly the joy of going through testing of your faith. The world does not know, does not understand. These are very unique features of those who belong to the Lord Jesus.
I think we could touch on also in 1 Thessalonians 2, the phrase, the crown of rejoicing. There was some comments made in that section in general, but this idea of the crown of rejoicing, this is a crown, a reward reserved for believers who have been used by the Lord in the lives of other believers. the crown of rejoicing, to see that there in the presence of God, as we had mentioned, are those whom we have been used to help in some way. And some perhaps we may not even realize that the Lord used us to help one or another. But on the other hand, it's not wrong to be very intentional in the desire to help another believer. Paul was not just going through the Christian life, talking just when it came out and just whatever happened. He had great intentions, great desires. I don't mean intentions in a human way, but he intentionally was serving the Lord through these Thessalonians. Through the time of being with them, he had specific goals, specific desires, specific results that he desired to see in their lives, all of them spiritual. He didn't want to reproduce himself in them. He didn't want to capture them by deceitful words and clever turns of phrases and so on. He wanted to attach them to the Lord Jesus. But then, having seen that this was the result in their lives, to see in the presence of the Lord that there would be the Thessalonians. This is a crown of rejoicing for the believer. It's a crown that only those who do this work, I believe we can say, will receive. There are various crowns in the Scriptures, and some of them are going to be for every believer, and some of them are going to be for those who lived in specific ways or went through specific things in their lives for the Lord. If we would like this crown, this is the kind of joy that we can desire to attain, to be used by the Lord in this way.
It's good that we're making emphasis or laying emphasis on the labors that go on in this realm that would be really a crown. It's not just simply this matter of preaching the gospel and winning souls, because I can win 3,000 souls and not one of them have been discipled to Christ. This is a discipling matter here. This is like what the good Samaritan did when he took the man to the inn and he invested financially in the care of the man, so that whatever is lacking or needful, I will repay when I come. I think this is somewhat also like Peter and John, who, going up to the temple, encountered the man seeking alms. What happens is this, the result is this. They finally had found him doing what? After they offered him none other than the Lord Jesus, the Nazarene. It says, immediately his feet and ankle bones were made strong. He leaped, he stood up, he walked, he entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Now, this is process here and progress. This is really where the crown of rejoicing, I believe, comes into view. Because there is work, and a lot of the work that goes on in building saints is not public. A lot of it is private. And as a result, they will be presented on the glorious day, because I think this is, again, millennial character, because 1 Thessalonians is really the appearing of the Lord Jesus. Not his coming for us, but our coming back with him. And there will be those who will be displayed before him who have gained from our lives in the effort and work that has been done in terms of the nurturing and nursing them.